It's game time with the legends, sports legends, Hall of Famers, and much more. It's time for the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Mike Bird. It's showtime and time to talk sports with the legends. The Naples All-Star Events Sports Show on Fox Sports Radio is now heard on both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group serving Southwest Florida. And today we are honored. It is a privilege to have one of the best friends of my life and one of the best players.
You don't have many.
Mr. Phil Chenier is our guest today, one of the all-time best shooting guards in NBA history. And Phil, we're just privileged to have you and talk a little bit about your life story and your beginnings and your college career, and then, of course, your pro career and what you're doing now in the Washington, D.C. area. Phil, humble starts in Berkeley, California. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Berkeley and how you became enamored with the sport of basketball.
I still look at my experience growing up in Berkeley as a very pivotal part of my overall development and allowed me to do things later on in life. And Berkeley, first of all, was a city right next to Oakland, across from San Francisco. It was a very well-diverse community that I grew up in, somewhat segregated in terms of the pockets of living, but our elementary school and then our junior high school and then, of course, our high school was the only public high school in Berkeley, so everybody came together. But it was a gradual coming awareness of people of different backgrounds, different cultures, different financial backgrounds and whatnot that brought us together. It was a great place to grow up, and I still have many of whom you've met, friends that I deal with. In fact, I just got back from the Bay Area a couple weeks ago, so it's just a great place to grow up in. I started off playing Little League Baseball. That was the first organized sport that we had, and I was pretty good at that. My dad was the coach, and we did well. But of course, when you play at the park, especially on Saturdays, it's an all day thing. And so when you're not playing, you're watching other games, but then there's a basketball court right behind you. So, we go out there and start shooting baskets. And, that's kind of how I picked up the game. And I had some very close friends that I grew up with that we played basketball. One was kind of an interesting guy that I just reconnected with a couple of months ago, named Larry Nero. He was the best thing in Berkeley at our age at that time. We were on the same baseball team, and then there was another friend named Carl Shelton that we grew up with. We grew up playing basketball on the courts. I had a very influential teacher at Willard Junior High School that really was the first to give me the fundamentals of basketball. He worked with me every day. I still, to this day, remember some of the drills that he gave me, some of the advice he gave me. He was the first one to tell me to start working on my left hand, not just in dribbling, but shooting layups, shooting hook shots and whatnot. So that was a big part of it. But, I had a little success when I was in the ninth grade, and I just got totally caught up playing basketball at that point. So I'd say in the ninth grade, going into the 10th, I transferred from really loving baseball to just loving basketball, and I couldn't get enough. Played every day, all day, or as much as I could, and it paid off.
A lot of these stories that our listeners will hear about today, I've known about for a long time. I mean, you're one of my oldest friends. One of the stories that I want you to tell our listeners, you had a lot of offers coming out of high school and going into college. You went from a Yellow Jacket to a Golden Bear. Talk a little bit about all the offers that you got and one offer that you got specifically from UCLA?
Well, like I said, I was doing well. By the time I got to the 10th grade, you know, we didn't have ninth grade high school. You started high school back then in the 10th grade. And right. I not only played varsity and started varsity, I was the second leading scorer. So I quickly made a pretty good name of myself. And after the end of my sophomore year, I started getting some letters from a few schools. And one of them was UCLA. And they, you know, followed me. Then the next year got more letters. And after my junior year, that's when I, you know, was allowed to take trips. So they brought me down to UCLA. You know, I don't think we had limits on how many visits we could have. So I think I made a couple of visits that first year, and then I made a couple of visits my senior year. But one of the visits I made my senior year was during the time they had the NCAA finals. And that was the year that Houston earlier had beaten UCLA in that game in the Superdome. And of course, now you were in the NCAA, they were in the finals. I think Houston and UCLA played in the semifinal game, but this was the Final Four. And they brought me in. I got a chance to sit down at the meal. Kareem, well, it was Lou Alcindor at the time, Lucius Allen, Mike Warren. Mm-hmm. And they brought me in, and, you know, I felt pretty important. I think one of the stories I told you about was they didn't put me up in a dorm. They put me up in a condo, and I didn't know what to do. I'm 16, 17 years old, right. And first time away from my parents, really. And I was being actually recruited by Mike Warren. Mike Warren was the guy that kind of took me around, and he was the man of the city. You know, I didn't know that much outside the West Coast, and I was scared to fly, so I wasn't really accepting some of these trips to go back to, I don't know if it was Louisville, someplace in Kentucky. I don't think it was the University of Kentucky, but, you know, and then there were some schools in New York. But like I said, I was afraid to fly, especially by myself at that point. So, you know, going down to UCLA was a 40-minute ride. It was always in the sunshine. And right. it was a quick ride, so I felt comfortable there. And the one trip that I did take was back to Omaha, to Creighton. And they were really after me. And they also had an eye on one of my teammates, Dave Dockery. So I said, well, if Doc comes back, then I'll come back with him. So they said, fine. So we flew back to Omaha to visit Creighton. And but it was too cold back there. And again, it was about a 2.5-hour flight. Right. I didn't like that. You know, I knew I was going. I didn't even go up to Seattle. I had a chance to go up to Seattle and check that out. But, you know, that was a 2-hour flight. And I said, no, I'm pretty much going to either go to Cal or UCLA. And Cal had a really good recruit the year before. I think that's why I made my decision. But, you know, UCLA wouldn't have been a bad choice to go either.
So talk a little bit about the first time you had an opportunity, and I assume you met John Wooden. What was it like?
I met John Wooden one time, and that was the second trip when I was a senior.
Right.
It was kind of eerie, really, because I was with the players at a pregame meal, and then somebody came and said, come here, you have to come with me. He didn't even say what I was coming for. We went through some back rooms, and boom, next thing I know, boom, we're in the office, and there's John Wooden. Spent about 5 minutes in talking. He said, you know, we've seen you play. We like what we see, and we think that you can, you know, take the place of Lucius Allen. You know, they didn't call it point guard, shooting guard, but clearly you had some of those more definitive roles. And Lucius Allen was about 6'2", 6'3". I was about 6'3" at that time. And so, you know, he was saying that you would fall into, you know, to this role. That's how we envision you fitting in with this school. And, you know, and it's interesting because there is a part of me that sometimes wonder what it would have been like playing under John Wooden, because I you know, I hear a lot of the players, you know, one of your guys, Doc Walker, you know, talks about some of the sayings. I've talked to Bill Walton. I've talked to Marcus Johnson. Those guys all, you know, made reference to some of the really, you know, sharp quotes and proverbs that John Wooden has laid on them. So sometimes I think about what it might be like, you know, had I made that choice. But, you know, you can't do that. You can't go back in time. But sometimes it makes you just say, I wonder what if.
Well, it all worked out for you, Phil. And when we talk about the greatest that's ever played at the University of California, Berkeley, your name is always there at the very top. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your experiences at Cal Berkeley, the good and the bad, before you went on to be a star in the NBA. We're going to pay some bills, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Hall of Fame athletes, exclusively here in Naples, Florida. It's only on the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Alamo Gun Range of Naples.
Welcome to the Alamo Gun Range of Naples. Are you a first-time shooter with a lot of questions and need training? The Alamo Gun Range of Naples is here for you. With our clean, comfortable, and relaxing atmosphere and a staff that's certified and trained to provide you with the answers and training you need to get started, you'll feel right at home. The Alamo Gun Range of Naples, Naples' premier indoor gun range and firearms superstore, alamorange.com.
Need to secure a loan for purchase or refinance? Call Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team of Cross Country Mortgage. Lauren Maxwell is a trusted name in Naples with over 35 years of lending experience. She has been recognized as the number one female loan originator in the state for the past 2 years. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or a seasoned investor, Lauren can help secure the right loan to suit your needs. Contact Lauren Maxwell and the Maxwell Mortgage Team. They're located at 9130 Galleria Court, Suite 101, Naples. Call Lauren Maxwell at 239-596-0500 or visit www.maxwellmortgageloans.com. The Maxwell Mortgage Team is a proud sponsor of the Naples All-Star Events Legends 4 at the Hilton Hotel in Naples. Lauren Maxwell, NMLS number 331415, Maxwell Mortgage Branch number 1770104, and Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS number 3027, an equal housing lender. Make sure to visit MaxwellMortgageLoans.com.
You never know when the shit could hit the fan, but when it does, call this man. Sunwest Plumbing is a proud sponsor of the Patriot broadcast here at Seat to Table. You never know when your pipes get backed up, so we are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to answer that emergency call. Because when you're clogged up, all you want is relief. We are located in beautiful, free Naples, Florida. We service both residential and commercial properties from Marco Island all the way up to Fort Myers. Remember, Sunwest is the best because we know our shit.
Do you know what CCIM stands for? It stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member. It means that you are in the top 1% in the field of commercial realtors in the nation. CCIM Dan Barrell of Keller Williams Commercial can handle all types of commercial real estate, whether you're an investor, a tenant, or looking for something for your personal use. Retail, medical, industrial, office, restaurant, hospitality, and land. Call Dan at 239-850-2185 for your free consultation.
At the stage in Bonita Springs, Wednesday, January 18th, Timberlake, Jackson, and Pink Tribute Show. Thursday, the Bruno Mars Experience. Friday, Benatar and Joplin. Saturday, U2 and NXS Tribute. Call the stage in Bonita for reservations.
Sports fans, Boston fans, and fans of the Boston Celtics, Kevin McHale is coming to Naples.
Meet and greet one of the greatest power forwards in the history of basketball at Legends 4, brought to you by Naples All-Star Events. Monday, March 27th at the Naples Hilton on 41. This is your opportunity to get up close and personal to Kevin McHale, one of the all-time Celtic greats. Other Hall of Famers appearing are Dave Bing of the Detroit Pistons, Bobby Dandridge of the Milwaukee Bucks and Washington Bullets, and Naples' favorite son, Rick Barry of the Golden State Warriors. Get your tickets
tickets now at NaplesAllStarEvents.com. That's NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Hall of Famers Kevin McHale, Dave Bing, Bobby Dandridge, and Florida's own Rick Barry. Brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Group and top realtor of Southwest Florida, Pat Dearborn. Tickets are going fast. Don't miss it. Go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com for your Legends 4 tickets today. Known for bringing sports legends to Southwest Florida, here's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show.
We're back. The sports show that talks to the legends. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show. I'm Mike Bird, airing both Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group, serving Southwest Florida. Our esteemed guest this morning is the great one, Mr. Phil Chenier. Phil, we were talking before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about UCLA and how you spurned the Bruins and you became a Golden Bear. And it worked out pretty well for you at the University of California, Berkeley. Talk about your teammates and how great they were and how they helped your development.
First of all, I lived right around the corner from Cal Berkeley. So, I mean, when I was very young, in fact, 9 and 10, that was the 2 years the Cal went to the NCAA finals. They won 1 year, and then the next year they lost to Ohio State with Havlicek, Siegfried, and Jerry Lucas in the finals. But at that point, I was a huge Bear fan at that point. And then I'm starting to follow them. You know, gradually, you're starting to see some games on TV. You know, I used to go up to Cal for the football games and sell papers, make a little money up there. So I became attracted to the whole atmosphere up there at Cal. And then when I started playing basketball in high school and I get recruited up there as well, and I see other things, I just automatically see myself a part of that program. I saw the talent there. I saw the possibility. You know, everybody was, obviously UCLA was the team, but I thought, how special would it be if I was a part of the team that beat UCLA? And I'm sure everybody has that kind of, well, a lot of people have that kind of mentality and that kind of attitude. Didn't work out the way I planned it, but we had a very, very talented group. I was recruited by a guy that mentored me even before I was when I was at Berkeley High, named Earl Robinson. And Earl went to my high school about 10 years ahead of me. He ended up going to Cal, and he was on that team that played in the NCAAs. And he was a friend of the family, really. So he was the freshman coach. He recruited me, and that was the other big component of me choosing to go to Cal, along with the players that I was going to team up with. And I thought that, you know, collectively with the talent that we had, that, you know, we could make a lot of noise and eventually unseed UCLA for their dominance.
Phil, you had all the tools coming out of high school, going into college at Cal Berkeley. Big guard, could do it all offensively. Now they call it a two guard, but as a shooting guard, you had all the tools. There wasn't anything offensively that you couldn't do. But you made a name for yourself in college and then in the pros as not just an offensive weapon, but you were a lockdown defender. Phil, did you take a lot of pride in shutting down your man?
I did. And there were two games that really, really put me in a position to understand the importance and the benefits of that. We were playing this team out in San Leandro Pacific, and it was you played 8 games. You had 7 teams in our league. Well, 8 teams in our league, but you played 7. I think that's how it was. Anyway, you have 2 halves. So this was for the championship of the first half of the season. They had a 6-1 record. We had a 6-1 record. So we were playing them. They had this guy that was a second leading scorer in the league. So Spike really talked me up, my coach, and said, look, we need you to guard this guy. You know, he used to call everybody Hoss. Come on, Hoss, you got to get on him. You got to play him hard. You know, this guy was about 6'4", a little bit taller than me, but I was quicker. I anticipated well, and I think early on I blocked a couple of his shots, and that was kind of discouraging. And from that point on, my confidence was sky high. His was, you know, kind of questioning what he was going to be able to do. And I had one of the best games, certainly that year in the 10th grade. I had like 28 points and held him to like 5 or 6 points. So, and then I got a huge write-up in the paper about it. And they talked about not only my scoring, but the fact that I defended this guy so well. That was, you know, a light went on when I saw that. So I'm saying I can get a reputation, not just from scoring, but also from being a defender. And then the following year, my junior year, the first game we played, we were playing a team over in San Francisco. Even though I played guard, you know, I was able to, you know, assert myself inside because I was one of the taller players on the team at 6'3". And I think I came away with 8 or 9 block shots that game. So again, I got a lot of recognition for that. And again, it just reinforced the idea that, you know, you can really make a name for yourself, not just offensively, but defensively. And it kind of carried with me. I understood the importance of that. You know, you have coaches that talk about that, but sometimes they don't really emphasize it as much as they should. But by then, I had already known that even if I'm not scoring, if I put the clamps on somebody, I'm going to get recognized.
A lot of players owe whatever success they're having early, they owe to you and Spencer Haywood as two of the first young men to come out of college early and go directly to the pros. And you went in the hardship draft in 1971. Talk a little bit about Spencer Haywood coming out first and then you right behind in 71.
Well, yeah, I mean, Spencer was the man. I mean, here's a guy that college sophomore, led the Olympic team. And I think he averaged 30 and 20. But if he didn't, it was pretty close to that. I mean, he dominated. And this guy's like 19 years old. Yet, no, he's the one that paved the way. Let's make no mistake about it. I took advantage of it. I was one of the first class. I was a part of the first class in the NBA to do that. But that opened the door for all of us to leave college early when Spencer Haywood did that. It was, you know, it was a great thing. I had just come back from the Pan American trial camp in Colorado Springs. And I felt I played really well and distinguished myself. I didn't make the team, but I had a number of people that were interested in me, both from a position of representing me as agents. And I also had a number of teams that through them had expressed an interest. If I were to leave early, that I would be seriously considered as a draft pick. So now all of a sudden, I went to Colorado Springs not thinking about leapfrogging into the pros from there, just thinking about playing well, making a name for myself, and making that Pan American team and getting even more experience internationally. But now after 2 weeks there, I come away, you know, and I've got people calling me talking about, you know, they want to represent me. I've got, they're telling me that this team or that team is interested in drafting me. So now all of a sudden I have the potential, the option of leaving school early to do what is for most of us a lifelong dream. And that's to play in the NBA.
In the NBA, yeah. We are going to take a break, Phil, and pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to talk about your transition from being a Golden Bear to being a Bullet in the Washington, D.C. area. Our guest today on the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show is the one and only Phil Chenier from the Washington Bullets. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show with your host, Mike Bird.
This commercial timeout brought to you by the Floormeisters of Naples. Just keeping it real.
Floormeisters of Naples, family owned and operated, specializing in wood, Cortec carpet and tile. Huge in-stock selection, great pricing, licensed and insured. 15,000 square foot showroom. Visit them today at floormeisters.com or call them at 239-596-4964. That's the Floor Meisters of Naples, just keeping it real.
Proud to honor the best of Collier County's youth athletics, it's the National Football Foundation. The National Football Foundation supports and celebrates extraordinary academic achievement along with outstanding competitive football performances and community services of Collier County High School senior football players. Stop by the website and learn more at nffcollier.com. That's nffcollier.com, the National Football Foundation of Collier County.
Are you a small business owner and employee turnover and management keep you up at night? If you answered yes, HR by Karen is here to help you with recruitment, retention, and training. Call HR by Karen today to provide HR solutions for your business at 239-776-5919 or visit our website at hrbykaren.com. You can't spell heart without HR. Let's crush it together.
The Bonita Springs YMCA is where individuals thrive and communities come together. Enjoy pickleball, fitness center, outdoor heated pool, and much more. Visit the Bonita Springs YMCA today and pay nothing to join when you join in January 2023. Call 239-221-7560. Also, don't miss the Bonita Springs YMCA's exclusive Y Cook Interactive Dinner prepared by the talented executive chef at Michael's on East. It's March 1st and tables are limited. Call 239-221-7560 to register or visit www.ymcaswfl.org. The Bonita Springs YMCA.
At the stage in Bonita Springs, Wednesday, January 18th, Timberlake, Jackson, and Pink Tribute Show. Thursday, the Bruno Mars Experience. Friday, Benatar and Joplin. Saturday, U2 and NXS Tribute. Call the stage in Bonita for reservations.
Sports fans, Boston fans, and fans of the Boston Celtics, Kevin McHale is coming to Naples.
Meet and greet one of the greatest power forwards in the history of basketball at Legends 4, brought to you by Naples All-Star Events. Monday, March 27th at the Naples Hilton on 41. This is your opportunity to get up close and personal to Kevin McHale, one of the all-time Celtic greats. Other Hall of Famers appearing are Dave Bing of the Detroit Pistons, Bobby Dandridge of the Milwaukee Bucks and Washington Bullets, and Naples' favorite son, Rick Barry of the Golden State Warriors. Get your tickets now at NaplesAllStarEvents.com. That's NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Hall of Famers Kevin McHale, Dave Bing, Bobby Dandridge, and Florida's own Rick Barry. Brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Group and top realtor of Southwest Florida, Pat Dearborn. Tickets are going fast. Don't miss it. Go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com for your Legends 4 tickets today. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Today's show is brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group serving Southwest Florida. We're glad to have you with us, and we're glad to have Phil Chenier of the Washington Bullets here with us today. And before we went on the break, we talked a little bit about his indoctrination into the show, the NBA. And Phil, how scary was it for a guy, hardship draft, 1971, 19 years of age, going to the big time?
You know, Mike, actually, it happened so fast, I didn't even have time to be afraid. I was too young and dumb to be afraid. You know, I just fell into it. I had a little hiccup because I was supposed to be drafted by the Chicago Bulls. That was the way everything was laid out. Now, keep in mind, at this time, this is the first year that's done. Once I declare hardship, I can't go back to college. So I don't have any options. So I have to make sure that there's some type of agreement firm before I give my commitment to leave. Otherwise, I could be, you know, out there dangling. So, you know, we had this agreement set up with Chicago. Pat Williams was the GM back then. That morning that they have the draft back in New York. I'm in Berkeley, 3 hours different. So they had it at noon. So it's 9 o'clock my time. You know, I've got a 3, 4, 4 o'clock flight to leave for Chicago later on that afternoon, because this is already set in stone, right? I get a call, phone rings, my mom comes in. She says, Phil, there's a Gene Shue with the bullets that wants to talk to you. And I'm kind of just getting out of my sleep, and I'm, Gene Shue, bullets? Man, she's got it messed up. She meant the Bulls. She don't know what she's talking about, you know? Yeah. So I get to the phone. I said hello, and sure enough, Phil, this is Gene Shue with the Bullets. We just drafted you, and da-da-da-da. I said, who is this? He said, Gene Shue with the Bullets. And, of course, then I thought, oh, man, everything's blown up. So I got off the phone, called my agents who were in New York. They said, we don't know what happened. The Bullets had never inquired anything about me. So I come to find out down the road years later that Bob Ferry was the scout that scouted me. And he was so convinced that I would be a strong player that they better draft now. Because what was going to happen is this was going to come off the draft for the following year, because this was a supplemental draft. They already had the regular draft for 1971. So if you notice, when you go to the record books and you see when I was drafted, there's an asterisk by my name. It says 1971, but it was accounted for in the 1972 draft. The Bullets didn't get a first round draft because they used that in the supplemental draft in 71. And it took a while for us to, you know, come to some kind of arrangement and negotiate the contract. So finally, we get it done, and we're about a week out from opening day. And so I come into camp. There's Earl Monroe there. There's Gus Johnson. There's Wes Unseld, Jack
Barrett,
Kevin Lockery, Freddie Carter, John Tresvant. I say to this day, man, I was so blessed. Gene Shue was the coach, that I went to a team that had some veterans and had a coach like Gene Shue, because there's a lot to learn your first year. There are a lot of ups and downs, and you've got to have teammates that are in the position to mentor you without being judgmental or being spiteful. You know, well, he's going to take away some of my time. And you got to have a coach that is somewhat confident in what you can do and willing to grow with you, but also try and teach you. That was a big part of my success. And I gained a heck of a lot of confidence that first year. And I had some really poor games, and I had some pretty good games.
You know, we have been introducing you as a Washington Bullet, and so many people all across the country know you as a Washington Bullet. Obviously, your number was just retired. You're number 45. You won a championship in Washington, but you were drafted by the Baltimore Bullets.
Absolutely.
And the Baltimore Bullets at that time were putting together, as you just detailed, they were one of my favorite teams growing up for a number of different reasons. And you just explained that, you know, you had the Wes Unseld, the late, great Wes Unseld, Earl the Pearl Monroe. Who didn't like Black Jesus growing up in the reverse pen?
That's right.
Who didn't like him?
That's
really, who didn't like
everybody
him?
Everybody tried to emulate him.
The guy who had the sweet jump shot, Jack Merrim, and we always remember him because he had the birthmark on his arm. And
But
you know the thing I loved about the Bullets? I love that everyone in the NBA, all the teams in the NBA, when they were at home, they wore white, except the Bullets and the Lakers. The Lakers wore gold, and the Bullets wore orange.
Orange turned
out to be, this is a side joke that none of our listening audience will get, but that turned out to be your favorite color, orange. But that's a whole nother story. You know, talk a little bit about, I wish our listeners could see you give me the side eye right now. Talk a little bit about some of those practices, you know, Fred Carter, Earl the Pearl, Jack Merrim, and Wes, and Gus the Honeycomb.
Just,
it was unbelievable.
First of all, Gus, I mean, Wes was strong, but Gus was the strongest individual I'd ever seen. I mean, he was chiseled. And
stronger than Wes Unseld.
I think they're very close. And that's what made the beauty of that team. They were both on the same team, and they both were able to apply their strength. I remember playing, we played New York every year my first 3 years in the playoffs. We played them about 7 or 8 times in regular season. And I'm going to tell you, watching Gus and Dave DeBuscher battle those games, I would have paid to see that. And it was classic. The first 3 or 4 games I was there, Earl was with us. And Earl was couldn't have been kinder to me, and we're friends still to this day. A couple times he had to take me out to dinner because I had no transportation. You know, he looked
Phil,
out.
Talk about the moves that Earl had. The moves that, Earl had.
You can't describe them. You can't describe them. You can only watch them. You got to see them. That's it. I mean, because like he says, he doesn't know what he's going to do until he's done it. You know, but he had so much flamboyancy and some flexibility in his movement, and they were precise, yet they were so fluid. And he would change hands. And of course, everybody knows the spin move, and we all had practiced it. And he was just a graceful thing of beauty to watch. And like I said, just a nice guy. Freddie Carter.
Mad Dog Carter.
That year was the last year. In fact, training camp was the last time that you had roommates. Up until that point, everybody had to have roommates. Well, Freddie was my roommate. I'm assuming it was by way of alphabetical order. I just went on one road trip before the season. Cause like I said, I came in about 5 or 6 days before the season started, and we were playing the Nets. But I don't think Doc was on the team. I think he was still in Virginia then. So, but Brian Taylor was with New York. I'm trying to think of who else. But anyway, we went out there and played them, and Freddie Carter was my roommate, and he's just a wild guy. And when I first came into camp, I had to line up against him. And I mean, he beat the living hell out of me. And to this day, whenever I see him, I tell him about it. And he has that big old grin on his face. So yeah, that's what everybody got, you know.
Well, as I recall, Phil, Mad Dog Carter wasn't one to shy away from a physical altercation.
Oh, no. He lived and breathed that. So, and again, that was good for me. I mean, he didn't do it in a mean, hurtful way. But, hey, that's the way the game is played. I mean, if you're not going to get – because Walt Frazier, JoJo White, all these other guys around the league, they're not going to lighten up on the physical play. They're going to lean on me as well. So you got to get used to it. And then, again, Gene Shue was very pivotal for me because he played in the league. He knew what to expect. But now as a coach, he knew how to transfer that information. And he did an outstanding job of making me feel like I could do it. But also, you know, he gave me the right instruction. He told me what to prepare for. And like I said before, he was the one that noticed that my shot was still kind of a line drive shot. He said, you're going to have to soften that shot. You're going to have to get it off a little quicker. But you're really going to have to give it some arc and loft that shot a little higher. Got in the gym and just kept working on that and working on that. You know, the next year, he devised a couple of plays specifically for me, which I was very appreciative of. And that's the kind of thing that really gives you a lot of confidence when, you know, your coach is dividing plays for you and your teammates are setting up plays knowing that the ball's going to end up in your hands for the shot.
Smooth as silk on the offense, tough as nails on the defense. That was my buddy, Phil Chenier, number 45, with the Baltimore/Washington Bullets. And when we come back on the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show, we're going to talk to Phil about losing a championship, winning a championship, what it was like to be traded, and then retire. You stay with us. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
Running a business can be overwhelming when trying to do everything. TLC Marketing and Creative Services is here to help. They're a full-service marketing boutique. They'll take care of all your branding needs, including ads, branding, logos, social media websites, SEO, blogs, graphics, events, and much more. They become an extension of your team. Every business needs a little TLC. Give them a call today at no cost. 239-405-8115.
Realtor Patrick Dearborn with John R. Wood Properties is the official realtor for all Patriots here in Southwest Florida, a.k.a. Freedom Town, USA. Call Patrick Dearborn and his all-star team today, 239-877-4340, and let them help you navigate the current market successfully. Investors, second homeowners, full-time home, condo, or commercial, Patrick Dearborn is the go-to agent. Proud veteran of the U.S. Army 82nd Airborne. Big heart, big patriot. Call Patrick Dearborn today, 239-877-4340.
At the Sage in Bonita Springs, Wednesday, January 18th, Timberlake, Jackson, and Pink Tribute Show. Thursday, the Bruno Mars Experience. Friday, Benatar and Joplin. Saturday, U2 and NXS Tribute. Call the Stage in Bonita for reservations.
Vicente of London is the premier cigar lounge and retailer in Naples, Florida. Vicente is stocked with premium cigars and accessories from some of the most esteemed makers, including Davidoff, Zeno, Padron, Avo, Rocky Patel, Perdomo, Plasencia, and many more. Vicente is the perfect place to enjoy a cigar and more, whether inside our lounge, at the bar, or on our relaxing outside patio. Open 7 days a week, featuring live entertainment on Friday nights, NFL ticket, and Major League Baseball. Remember the name Vicente of London, Naples' premier cigar lounge and retailer.
When it comes to promotional products in Southwest Florida, you can trust the good people of Swag World. With so many companies offering promotional products, it's hard to know who to trust. Will they get the logo right? Will they deliver on time? Is the price correct? Well, you can trust the people of Swag World. Their number one priority is to make you and your organization shine. Their success is your success. Call them for a consultation today. The number is 877-260-0002. That's 877-260-0002. Their success is your success. Swag World, number one in Southwest Florida. And remember, when it comes to promotional products, you can trust the good people of Swag World.
Sports fans, Boston fans, and fans of the Boston Celtics, Kevin McHale is coming to Naples.
Meet and greet one of the greatest power forwards in the history of basketball at Legends 4, brought to you by Naples All-Star Events. Monday, March 27th at the Naples Hilton on 41. This is your opportunity to get up close and personal to Kevin McHale, one of the all-time Celtic greats. Other Hall of Famers appearing are Dave Bing of the Detroit Pistons, Bobby Dandridge of the Milwaukee Bucks and Washington Bullets, and Naples' favorite son, Rick Barry of the Golden State Warriors. Get your tickets now at NaplesAllStarEvents.com. That's NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Hall of Famers Kevin McHale, Dave Bing, Bobby Dandridge, and Florida's own Rick Barry. Brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Group and top realtor of Southwest Florida, Pat Dearborn. Tickets are going fast. Don't miss it. Go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com for your Legends 4 tickets today. It's the Naples All-Star Events Sports Show with Mike Bird.
And our guest is the great one with the Baltimore / Washington Bullets, All-Pro guard Phil Chenier. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about his teammates on some of those great Bullets teams: Fred Mad Dog Carter, Wes Unseld, Jack Marin, Earl the Pearl Monroe, and Gus the Honeycomb Johnson.
Yeah.
You went on to win the championship with the Bullets in 75. I'm sorry, you lost the championship against the Golden State Warriors in 75. Many think that the Bullets had the better squad. Talk about how deflating it was to lose to Rick Barry and Clifford Ray in that group.
It was bad, because we had gone through extremely tough series, seven-game series with Buffalo. That's with McAdoo, Randy Smith, Kenny Charles, Ernie D. And then we played Boston right after that, and we won that in six games. So, yeah, we were the heavily favored team going into that championship series against Golden State. They had a longer series, so we actually were off for a little over a week, or about a week. I always remember it because, you know, Kevin Porter was my teammate, and Kevin Porter was one of my best friends. You know, we had practices, and, you know, and you sometimes, you know, KC was changing the teams up. And I remember one practice, everybody was just pent up, and anxious, wanted to get into this series. At one point, Kevin and I almost got into a fight, you know. And like I said, even to this day, we were best friends. But that just goes to show you how the anxiety was going. And then we played Golden State. And during that period of time, they were the better team. They beat us four straight. You know, the games were close, tight, and competitive. But they pulled out each game. We had a guy by the name of Jimmy Jones who was playing in the backcourt with us that got hurt. And Jimmy Jones, about 6'5 guard, came out of Utah with the Utah Jazz. What they call? Yeah, was it Utah Jazz in the ABA?
Utah Jazz, yeah.
In the ABA, though. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Utah Stars.
Utah Stars, that's what it is, yeah. That obviously hurt us, but to take nothing away from Rick Barry, Derek Dickey, George Johnson, Clifford Ray,
Phil Smith. Bill Smith.
Bill Smith, yeah, Butch Beard, and they just outplayed us. Jeff Mullins was on that team.
I know that you and Rick have appeared for Legends 1 down here in the Southwest Florida area back a couple of years ago, and I know that you and Rick still talk. Tell our listening audience how good Rick Barry was as a player and how good he was in that 75 championship series.
Well, I mean, here's a guy who damn near averaged 40 points a game. He was your pitcher of a forward that time. And keep in mind, we didn't separate. You had players then that were what you'd call power forwards today, but they weren't called power forwards. So you had to do a little bit of everything. And that's what Rick did. Rick could handle the ball. He was an exceptional playmaker. No question about one of the best shooters of all time. I mean, everybody talks about Steph Curry. Yes. And again, because this is 50 years ago, people have forgotten. There have been so many other names. Every year, they're great players. But in that time, Rick Barry was one of the best forwards to play the game. He was a terrific rebounder. So he presented all kind of problems. But then you throw in, and then my teammate at Cal, Charlie Johnson, was on that team. They just, like I said, they just beat us. Phil Smith. Phil Smith was about 3 or 4 years behind me. But I remember when he was at USF, he came over to Berkeley to where me and some of my buddies were playing. So he played in pickup game, and he made sure he guarded me. And he gave me all kind of problems. And I think that's the kind of thing that said, hey, I can play in this league. And so whenever he played against us, he gave me problems. There's no two ways about it. And he was a terrific guard. Like I said, that they had Al Adams went with about 10 different players. It was really bad for us, great for them.
So you lose the championship in 75.
Yeah.
But you go on, and it was a little bit bittersweet. The Bullets go on to win in 78. Mm-hmm. And I say it was bittersweet because you were at the peak of your power, so to speak, as a player. But unfortunately, the injury bug struck, and you didn't get an opportunity to play in that championship series. Talk about the highs and the lows of that year, 1978.
Well, I mean, for the previous 3 or 4 years, you know, we had Elvin on the team, Elvin Hayes, the Big E, and he and Wes just made such a powerful front court. But then we went out and got Bob Dandridge, and Bobby just took us over the top. Terrific player out of Norfolk State, but of course he had played with the Milwaukee Bucks, got a championship with them, and then that was the difference. You know, I was playing with Tommy Henderson, Kevin Greavy filled in, took my spot. CJ actually took my spot on the injured, because I was on the injured reserve at that point. Larry Wright, Greg Ballard, Mitch Kupchak. You know, we had eight and nine strong. And players that could do a lot of things. So that was the year. And I remember guys telling me, in fact, Larry Wright would tell me, he said, man, the night before that final Game 7, he said he happened to be sitting with Wes. He said Wes looked at him and said, Larry, I will do absolutely anything to make sure we win this game. Larry just said the look on his face meant he would do whatever it took to get the win. And of course, he was a rebounding force. Defensively, he was solid. And sure enough, won game seven up there in Seattle. And that was the one championship that we were able to bring back to Washington.
And the first championship that Washington had had in many, 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 many years. The ticker tape parade down Pennsylvania Avenue was something that folks who are native to Washington, D.C. are still talking about to this day. You left the game early, many believe. 1981 was your last year. Talk about how it was to leave the game so soon, a game that you had played all of your life. How difficult was that for you, Phil?
Yeah, it was very tough because I had just turned 30. You know, I still felt like I had a lot to give, but I had two back surgeries. I had a number of hamstring pulls that were constantly giving me problems. And so I just didn't have the game that I had at one time. You see yourself being able to do all the things you did 10 years ago when you first came in the league, but your body tells you something different and you just aren't able to do it. Not many players have the opportunity to go out on their own terms. Most of us in professional sports, it's dictated to us, and that's tough to accept. You have to make adjustments. You have to adapt. And like most of the other players, that's what I had to do.
I would be remiss if we didn't talk just for a second. And we've got 2 minutes remaining in this show. And there's going to be a part one and a part two with Phil Chenier, the great all-pro with the Washington Bullets. But Phil, in these last 2 minutes, talk a little bit about the late, great Wes Unseld. How much do you miss him?
Miss him a lot. And, you know, when I go back and reflect on my whole career, we talked about the Gus Johnsons and the Earl Monroes. Wes was the one player that was there the whole time I was in Washington. And even by the time I retired, he was still playing. I think he retired in 83 or 84. But we remained in contact. We would talk. And over the last 3 or 4 years of his life, he had a number of health issues that he was trying to overcome. Myself and a number of other players would go visit him periodically. And it was just hard to believe that this stature, this man that was the picture of strength, power, and good health, this guy that was running up and down the court, this guy that was the image of the team, the organization, now was pretty much bedridden. And, you know, when I got the word that he had passed, it was a sad day. And I will always remember him. He was a guy that, again, one of those mentors that stood up for me. Got a chance to interview his son, Wes Unseld Jr. And it just made me think about how cyclical this life is. And because I remember little Wes when he was in diapers running around the Cap Center. And now here he is, head coach.
This is part one of our interview with great Phil Chenier. Phil, thank you so much. We're going to have you back next week, and we'll talk a little bit about the current status of the NBA, your great broadcast career, and number 45 that's been raised to the rafters. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. Today's show brought to you in part by the Maxwell Mortgage Team and the Pat Dearborn Group serving Southwest Florida. Here's hoping the rest of your day is legendary.
It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show. Your host, Mike Bird. Be sure to join us next week as we sit down with another sports legend, exclusively for you to enjoy as we hear the stories, the drive, the determination behind the legendary athletes of our time. It's the Naples All-Star Event Sports Show.
You've accomplished much in life. You want the very best, and that may include high-end art for your home or office. Look no further than Balanced Images. Balanced Images specializes in high-end aluminum art created just for you. The mission is to create one-of-a-kind art that brings a client's passion to life with a simple but yet bold approach. See them on the web at balancedimages.com
or call Alessia Marcine at 804-301-5212. That's 804-301-5212. For one-of-a-kind art pieces designed with you and only you in mind, there is only one: Balanced Images.
Mark and Amanda Finning with the Finning Team, powered by Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment, seek to assist you with your future property investment nationwide. The Finning Team provides the knowledge and expertise to help you in your real estate needs with a strong network of professionals and access to a variety of resources. This helps to search or market your property effectively, meticulously, and privately. Call the Finning Team now at 239-920-1848. That's 239-920-1848. The Finning Team.
At the Stage in Bonita Springs, Wednesday, January 18th, Timberlake, Jackson, and Pink Tribute Show. Thursday, the Bruno Mars Experience. Friday, Benatar and Joplin. Saturday, U2 and NXS Tribute. Call the Stage in Bonita for reservations.
Sports are all about participation, but it's hard to participate when you can't walk. Wheelchair Foundation provides wheelchairs to people from all walks of life, all around the world. A wheelchair means a chance to participate in all kinds of activities. Not only does a wheelchair change the life of a person who needs it, it also changes the life of the people who have to care for them. Visit www.wheelchairfoundation.org for more information and to donate. That's www.wheelchairfoundation.org.
Sports fans, Boston fans, and fans of the Boston Celtics, Kevin McHale is coming to Naples.
Meet and greet one of the greatest power forwards in the history of basketball at Legends 4, brought to you by Naples All-Star Events. Monday, March 27th at the Naples Hilton on 41. This is your opportunity to get up close and personal to Kevin McHale, one of the all-time Celtic greats. Other Hall of Famers appearing are Dave Bing of the Detroit Pistons, Bobby Dandridge of the Milwaukee Bucks and Washington Bullets, and Naples' favorite son, Rick Barry of the Golden State Warriors. Get your tickets now at NaplesAllStarEvents.com. That's NaplesAllStarEvents.com. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Hall of Famers Kevin McHale, Dave Bing, Bobby Dandridge, and Florida's own Rick Barry. Brought to you by the Maxwell Mortgage Group and top realtor of Southwest Florida, Pat Dearborn. Tickets are going fast. Don't miss it. Go to NaplesAllStarEvents.com for your Legends 4 tickets today.